News with Nick. Great intro. It is April 7th, 2016. And this is the Hope the Mic Doesn't Die episode of News with Nick, where every time I move, the microphone makes a horrible noise, and then it's fine for, like, a long time. I don't know what's going on. I never do. Okay, let me make sure that this is turned up. The video version is going, and if you're watching the video version, you do see that I have a new webcam. And by new, I mean a hand-me-down webcam from the old studio, because we got new webcams there. Okay, let's see. We got to go quicker today, because I spent 20 minutes going, why is the microphone not working? And if it stops working, I am stopping the show, and I'm going to bed, and we'll do the show another day. 6:16 in the morning in the Eastern time. Let's see. Yesterday, my house almost burned down, so we'll talk about that on the regular show. But it's like, why is the electricity in only one room not working? It's probably fine, right? And then the electrician comes up and goes, no, the wires, they're burning. So that's a little teaser for coming up. Let's see. Okay. All right, news with Nick. Big news this week was that a bunch of people have been caught hiding their bread overseas. And people released the Panera papers in order to report them. It's a big leak. And Putin, George Bush, a whole bunch of people are all upset for storing their sandwiches overseas. Oh, hi, Bread Bar. Bread Bar in the chat to hang out with the Panera Papers. No. What really happened? The Panama Papers are a leaked set of 11.5 million confidential documents that provide detailed information about more than 214,000 offshore companies listed by the Panamanian corporate service provider Mossack Fonseca. Corporate service provider. So I guess this is a corporation that makes other corporations or something. It's like, oh, you want to help set up a corporation? Sure, we shut you one up. Including the identities of shareholders and directors of the companies. The documents show how wealthy the individuals, including public officials, hide. Oh, sorry. The documents show how. Oh, yeah, I said that right. How wealthy individuals, including public officials, hide their money from public scrutiny. The papers identify current government leaders from five countries, Argentina, Iceland, Saudi Arabia, Ukraine, and the United Arab Emirates, as well as government officials, close relatives, and close associates of various heads of government of more than 40 other countries, including Brazil, China, Peru, France, India, Malaysia, Mexico, Pakistan. Okay, so long story short, what's happened is that there was apparently a hack on this organization, and they got the information of these account holders for these fake companies or something like that. Shell corporations, they're called. Let's look up Shell Corporation. Shell Corporation. A shell corporation is a company which serves as a vehicle for business transactions without itself having any significant assets or operations. So it doesn't do anything. It's just like, oh, I'm a company. Send me money. And then you do, and that's how you hide your money. What's the chat saying? Oh, nothing. Okay, they said it's probably the mic cable. Well, I don't know. It probably is, or it could be the port on the computer, or it could be the adapter, but then all of a sudden it just starts working. So it's like a demon inside the microphone. Okay. So what happened was, it sounds like there's a bunch of rich people, including heads of state, presidents, stuff like that, that don't want to get taxed on their money. Although, if you're like the president of a country, how are you like, I don't want to get taxed in my own country I don't want to get taxed by myself, so I got to hide my money. I don't know. Maybe it's because these countries still try to have some transparency, but if you can hide your money, then you don't have to be transparent. The name of hundreds of Americans have surfaced in the Panama Papers, including a handful of U.S. businessmen accused or convicted by U.S. authorities for ties to financial crimes or Ponzi schemes. The identities of the Americans emerged from the treasure trove of documents obtained by the German newspaper, which was Süddeutsche Zeitung, the U.S.-based international. A lot of people are kind of in trouble. Some people aren't in trouble. The Prime Minister of Iceland has actually already... Sigmundur David Gunnlaugsson. I hate international stories, by the way. How am I supposed to say all these things? Prime Minister resigned on Tuesday after the Panama Papers revealed that his wife owned an offshore company with a multi-million dollar claim on failed Icelandic banks. Okay. And then Putin's involved. Putin's not directly involved, but like, it's like, oh, it's one of Putin's best friends or something. Had a company overseas in Panama. And people are like, well, if it was Putin's best friend, it might very well be Putin's money. Didn't they do this in Wolf of Wall Street? I thought the guy in Wolf of Wall Street was like, we need to hide some money. Do you have an aunt that we can go to Panama with and make a corporation? So anyway, this is huge news, but the problem is like, oh, it's the top people in the world that all are getting in trouble from the Panama Papers. Who's going to, like, do anything? It's like, you top person in the world, you're in trouble. Okay, well, I'm the top person in the world, so you're fired. Oh, darn. You got me. So we'll see what happens. It's pretty big news because people aren't supposed to be hiding their money overseas, but a lot of people are probably like, obviously, why wouldn't they be doing that? As the world leafs through the latest Panama Papers, learning which important people used Mossack Fonseca to help them hide investigations or skirt regulations in their home countries, it's worth remembering that this isn't the first time Panama has found itself in the middle of efforts to avoid regulatory oversight. The rules of the shell game being played by the world's shipping fleets are a little different than those played by banks, law firms, and shell companies, but the results are often the same. A hidden world shrouded in layers of misdirection where the law is routinely bent to the limit. In addition to hosting countless shell companies, Panama is also the world's largest shipping registry, offering what has come to known as a flag of convenience. Ships have a nationality the same way people do. The nationality determines which domestic and international laws they are subject to and what taxes the owners must pay. A ship registered to Panama is legally considered a Panamanian ship, even if the owner is American. And even if the owner never sails it to Panama. So Panama's pretty much like, we got pretty loose rules. You want to register over here? Sure. You want to make a corporation over here? Sure. They're like, I don't know. They're like the cool kid on the block that you're hiding all your stuff at, right? So that happened. And if you want to register a ship, go to Panama. And then open a cruise company. That's probably what all the cruise companies do, right? They're just registered in Panama. Shell corporations make gas. Oh, that's a good one. I want to see a treasure troll of information come out, the chat says. Not a treasure trove of information. What do treasure trolls even sound like? They have a TV show, though, right? I've never heard it. I was living under the bridge. You must answer 3 questions, and then I will give you a treasure troll of information. Mossack Fonseca has responded, so there's a 4-page thing if you guys want to read it over on their website. They say things like, we regret any misuse of our services and actively take steps to prevent it. We regret any misuse of companies that we incorporate or the services we provide and take steps wherever possible to uncover and stop such use. If we detect suspicious activity or misconduct, we are quick to report it to the authorities. Similarly, when authorities approach us with evidence of possible misconduct, we always cooperate fully with them. I guess you wouldn't come out with a statement that says, yeah, you got us. We actually are doing shady deals. Who isn't doing shady deals? I don't believe that anything's real. Nothing's on the up and up. If there's chance for shady, if there's chance for fake, it's going to happen. And we just have to get used to it. We can't just be outraged all the time. How's that going to help? Maybe we need to make it so it's not so friendly to go over to Panama and make an account. Maybe we should just be able to have banks in the country you live in without them risking taking all your money because... of something. I don't know. I'm not political. Taking a sip of coffee. We are 10 minutes in. Okay, what's the next topic? You guys have any questions on the Panama Papers? I don't know anything about them. But it's 11.5 billion documents or whatever, a million. So you can go read them, I guess, and see who has money over there. Man, can you imagine that was your job? It's like, Johnny, I need the report of the Panama Papers on my desk in the morning. And they just have a forklift of papers that come in. He has to read them all. Okay, let's see.
A frightening moment on board this Amtrak train just before 8 a.m. Sunday morning when it smashed into a piece of heavy equipment on the tracks, causing the engine to derail. The train was en route from New York to Savannah, Georgia, hitting a backhoe and crashing just south of Philadelphia. Two Amtrak workers were killed and more than 30 people injured in the collision, passengers describing the harrowing ordeal.
I woke up to being thrown into the seat in front of me and the window got blown out right beside me. And there was a fireball. It's kind of a frightening few seconds. We didn't know what to do.
We got off track.
Amtrak said Monday it will restore service, albeit with some delays, along the route where one of its trains carrying 341 passengers crashed into a backhoe the day before. What's a backhoe? That's just one of those piece of construction equipments, right? We're still gathering the facts, said Ryan Frigo, the NTSB official in charge of investigating the crash, which killed two people. Here's a look at what we don't know so far. Do you guys ever wonder, like, okay, so say a crash happens, right? And now all of a sudden, it's NTSB Ryan Frigo's job to go investigate it. Like, what was he doing before that? Was he just hanging out playing computer games, waiting for a crash to happen? I'm the investigator, but nothing's happened today. Nah, he must have, obviously he has like other less time-sensitive things to do, but I always wonder what people are doing when they're not doing their normal jobs. NTSB officials will be looking into multiple factors that may have played a role in the crash. Mechanical operations, signal track, human performance, and survival. Survival? Did your survival instinct cause this crash? Frigo said that the event data recorder and forward-facing and inward-facing video from the locomotive have been recovered. Ooh, maybe we'll get a release of the video, the crash video. Big unanswered questions. Why was the backhoe on the track near Chester, just south of Philadelphia? Why did the train continue its route from New York to Savannah, Georgia, when Amtrak construction workers may have been on the track? And why didn't the construction workers move if a train was coming? Let's skip ahead in the video and see if anyone says something funny.
Injured a pedestrian in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Oh, God, that's funny.
The incidents come nearly a year after the deadly derailment in Philadelphia, when 8 people were killed and 200 injured due to speed on a curved section of track.
Wait, Bread Bar's in the chat going, cool, the actual news. What? Have you never heard an episode before? Maybe he's not a PCL member. So if you're not a PCL member, you don't get this. Unless you're listening live, then I guess you broke the system. All right, let's see. We do have more information coming out. An investigation into this week's... hang on. That's not the link I wanted, I don't think. Oh, no. Uh-oh, this is bad. An investigation into this week's Amtrak crash in Chester, PA, indicates track workers didn't deploy a basic decades-old old safety measure that experts say would have prevented a collision. Crews performing work on a stretch of Amtrak's heavily traveled northern corridor on Sunday apparently didn't put in place what is known as a supplemental shunting device, an apparent violation of Amtrak's own worker protection rules, these people said. The device, which is clamped to the track, completes an electrical circuit to alert the signaling system that the track is occupied. Oh, okay. So how trains work is that, well, it's probably not the same everywhere, but usually there's some sort of signal. Sometimes a light. Sometimes it's a flapper or something. So if the train's going, it sees a yellow light if, like, two sections ahead are occupied, and a red light if the direct section ahead is occupied and you need to stop at red. Right, so if you had been on the track, they were supposed to put in a device that I guess caused the signaling system to trigger. It would have triggered the signal system, which would have triggered PTC. I don't know what that means. Mr. Dittmeyer said of the shunting device, I can think of no reason why there would not be a shunt in place while maintenance is underway. Well, maybe they're shunting idiots. An Amtrak spokesman declined to comment, citing a continuing investigation. Amtrak rules don't require the devices in every case, but they are generally required as backup protection when maintenance equipment obstructs active track. Human error and whether Amtrak employees skirted safety procedures appear to be one focus for investigators. Well, of course they did. Hey, remember that story we did a couple weeks ago? And now it was like several months ago. Where the guy, the subway worker, was too lazy to hold down the lever, so he held it down with like a belt or a cable or something, and then he got out, and then the subway train just took off without him. So, same thing here. Although it wasn't the train's fault, it sounds like it was the worker's fault. I thought there was another thing. Hang on, let me look up something real quick. Okay, it's not looking like there's any more information. Investigation into train derailment, looking into possible communication issue. Communications breakdown. Authorities investigating how a backhoe ended up in the path of an Amtrak train traveling at more than 100 miles an hour. Oh, wow! Looking into whether a communications breakdown may have been responsible for a crash. Two workers were identified Monday. Both were killed when the Amtrak train traveling from New York to Savannah crashed into their backhoe. Okay. I want to know why. I haven't heard any information as to why the workers are like looking out and like, that looks like a train's coming. They didn't jump out of the backhoe. How hard is it to get out of the way of a train? I guess if there was heavy equipment going, but then again, I don't know. If you're on the track, wouldn't you maybe be looking for a train? I guess not. Because you wouldn't expect there were one to be coming because you've been working on the tracks. Oh, you've been working on the railroad? Wow, that's stupid. That's why they couldn't hear the train coming, because all day long they sing, I've been working on the railroad all the live long day. Oh my God, what if, I bet you every time a new guy starts, he starts singing that and they have to go, no. No. If you sing that, you get pushed in front of a train, I bet. Or you get your hand put down on one of the stakes. They do hit the stakes with just, like, hammers still, right? It's just the big hammer from the carnival game. Gotta pound the stake in. Sorry, this is insane. I hate this show. This is not going well. Okay, let's see. We have to read the original story, and then we can go over this video. Egypt Air hijacker in custody. All passengers evacuated. Farah El Dibane thought something was odd. Her Tuesday Egypt Air flight was taking too long to get from Alexandria to Cairo. The plane was headed out over the Mediterranean Sea, and then crew members began taking passengers' passports. When you fly to Cairo, you don't cross the sea, she said. And then one of the cabin crew told us, we are hijacked. We are being hijacked. There was a lot of panic and crying on the plane. They didn't tell us anything more. They didn't say what he wants or where we're headed. Nothing. We were just kidnapped. El Dibani's flight had been hijacked by a man who officials described as unstable after he held the passengers and crew hostage with a fake explosive belt, forcing the plane to divert to Cyprus, apparently over issues involving his ex-wife. Which is a Cypriot. A Cypriot? That's what you call someone from Cyprus, everyone. So if you guys want to learn that. He also has a criminal record. It was very horrifying to be in this situation. The incident ended relatively peacefully Tuesday when the plane's crew and passengers left the aircraft and authorities took the hijacker into custody. So what? He was like, okay, I've had enough hijack. I'm bored. I'm bored of the hijack. Take me in. The hijacker has just been arrested, Cyprus government spokesman Nikos said on Twitter, adding a few minutes later, all passengers and crew are safe. Cyprus state television showed a video of the hijacker wearing a white shirt being led away by a phalanx of police. A phalanx? A phalanx. Oh, well, I don't know. An earlier report that the hijacker was armed with explosives was false. Well, was it false or was it fake? right? A report that you're armed with explosives is not necessarily false if you think that he's armed with explosives. I mean, I guess it is technically false. I don't know. All right. The incident began when Mustafa allegedly hijacked the Egypt Air flight because of his... All right, let's skip this news story. We're going to go and actually... Well, let's skip that page. We're actually going to read some more information. New details have emerged on the hijacking of Egypt Air flight. The accused hijacker, Eden Mustafa. Mustafa was Simba's father, right? Mustafa. Did not enter the cockpit of the airplane over the course of the six-hour ordeal. Speaking to members of the press Sunday, Egypt Air pilot Amar Al-Gamal provided more details about the incident. Gamal had been flying a commercial flight when the hijacker took control of the plane and forced him to reroute to the flight of Cyprus. Well, how did he take control of the plane if he never entered the cockpit? Immediately after the hijacking, I asked the security officer to stay at the door of the cockpit and not leave. Mustafa seized control of the plane after revealing a fake suicide belt strapped to his body. Technically, any belt could be a suicide belt, right? Just ask Robin Will. He released most of the plane's... That was mean. I'm sorry. He released most of the plane's 35 passengers soon after the plane landed. Hours later, he surrendered to police. So what? He didn't take control of the plane. He was just like, I have a suicide belt. And it's just a belt, and it has just water bottles on it. It's one of those running belts you run with water all around. He's like, no, they're bombs, not water bottles. Trust me. So he told the flight attendant or something, you go tell them we're going to Cyprus. I don't know. There's not a lot of information about how they were communicating, how he took control of the plane. Our main fear was that the hijacker may enter the cockpit or that he knew how to fly a plane or use it to explode. The hijacking was initially suspected to be terrorism-related. It occurred just months after a bomb brought down a Russian airliner, which we talked about. However, Mustafa later claimed his motivation was to reunite with his ex-wife. So he's like, oh no, she's in Cyprus. We got to go there. Why couldn't you just get a trip to Cyprus? Or is it like in a movie where you really got to get the attention of a person? Honey, I love you so much. I've hijacked the plane with my suicide belt. The ex-wife called him an extremely dangerous man. She said her former husband used drugs, beat her, and terrorized the family. Well, now he's terrorized the whole world because of you. Huh? Rejecting the idea raised by many media reports that said Mustafa hijacked the flight as an act of love. Okay. So that happened. Got a hijacker. He's in custody and had no bombs. Oh, there was this other there was this other part of it that was really funny. The unofficial lexicon. Oh, sorry, I'm not even going to read it. Basically, one of the guys who was on the plane. Oh, no. Hang on. I'm going to get this from another source. Mr. Innes was a guy on the plane, a health and safety auditor. I'm not sure why I did it, he says. I just threw caution to the wind while trying to stay cheerful in the face of adversity. I figured if his bomb was real, I'd got nothing to lose anyway, so I took a chance to get a closer look at it. So this guy's like, hey, hijacker, can we get a pic? So here it is. He took a selfie. Well, people are calling it a selfie. Hijack selfie photo, quote unquote. But people keep calling it the hijack selfie. He's not taking a selfie. Unless he's taking it with his really long, you know what, because his hands are not holding the camera clearly. Someone else took a picture of this guy, and then here's the hijacker. He's all skinny and old. And is that his suicide belt? I don't think you can see the suicide belt. I think that's just an Ethernet cable. Although maybe he just strung an Ethernet cable between a bunch of water bottles and called it a bomb. I don't know. Some people at first were saying, oh, no, this was his plan. He's going to trick the hijacker into taking a photo so that they can identify him later in court. It'll be way easier, and he's just getting evidence for the police. It doesn't seem like that's what happened. It seems like the guy was just like, hey, let me take a picture with the terrorist. It doesn't. Now, He should have come out and been like, oh, yeah, that's what I was doing. Definitely. Yeah, I just wanted to help the police. It doesn't sound like he's made that claim, though. I think everyone else was making that claim on his behalf. It's hard not to wonder why someone would pose for a smiling selfie with a hijacker instead of, say, the highly professional flight attendants who work to keep their passengers from harm. Is it just because the hijacker was famous, no matter what hideous thing he did to become so, for just a few minutes in the middle of a news cycle? Yeah, this guy, it's an editorial. He's really mad about the guy who took the picture because he's cashing in on the terrorist fame. Then again, if you're the news, you cash in on terrorists. Admit it. See what the chat's saying. Nothing. The hijacker should have brought a backhoe onto the plane. Okay, maybe. All right, what do we got going here? Let's get rid of that Egypt Air. Nope, we don't want that to play. Can you guys hear the videos? Oh, I bet you can't even hear the videos on the stream. That was way low. Oh, well. I've turned it back up again. We actually haven't played that many videos, so it's probably fine. Google disables April Fool's joke amid users' fury after prank backfires. I think they mean the prank backhoed. News with Nick, backhoe. Google's April Fool's Day prank has backhoed, leaving the company looking the fool and a number of concerned users fearing for their jobs or worse. As April 1st began in Australia, the company announced its latest stunt, Gmail Mic Drop, a special version of the send button, which apparently appends a GIF of a minion. So those guys from Forget Me Not or whatever. I don't know, some movie. Despicable Me. A GIF of a minion dressed as the queen dropping a microphone at the end of your email. Everyone will get your message, but that's the last you'll hear about it, Google added to it in a blog post announcing the feature. Yes, even if folks try to respond, you won't see it. What? So I heard a theory that what happens... Okay, let's start at the beginning. So you've got this email that you're writing, and then below the email in Gmail, you've got the send button, and then you have... Next to it, they made this orange button that said send plus, and then there's a little icon there that's supposed to apparently indicate a mic drop. Unfortunately, the way the company decided to implement the mic drop feature was by simply placing a button on every user's compose window, making it easy enough to hit accidentally. People do hit things accidentally a lot. It's just a weird... It is a weird thing. One person who posted on the company's Gmail wrote, "Thanks to Mic Drop, I just lost my job. I'm a writer and had a deadline to meet. I sent my articles to my boss and never heard back from her. I inadvertently sent the email using the Mic Drop send button." Now, and I've heard, this is me talking again, not reading. I've heard that when you send with the Mic Drop, it mutes the person. That so they send back to you, it just goes to your junk folder or something. That's insane. My boss took offense to the mic drop animation and assumed that I didn't reply to her because I thought her input was petty. So anyone who's getting an email and doesn't know about the April Fool's joke is like, "What? Why is there a GIF on this thing?" And it's hard to, like, I want to show you the GIF, but I haven't found, it's not even a good GIF. It's hard to even see what they're doing. It's a minion. I can zoom in here a little bit. Is this going to play? Ooh. Yeah, that's the GIF. It's the queen just dropping a mic over it looks like a balcony almost, but maybe it's just off a stage or something. So here's an email that was sent out. Apparently this could be fake, but it might not be. "Melanie, we're so very sorry to hear about the tragic loss of your daughter. Your brother-in-law, Lewis, suggested we reach out to you to begin funeral arrangements. Please let us know how we can be of assistance to you in this difficult time. Mic drop." So people are sending out serious emails with the accidental GIF. Here's Google's blog. "Update. We heard feedback from some of you that were negatively impacted by the feature, so we quickly turned it off late last night. In addition, we are working to bring back mic-dropped messages that had subsequent replies to your inbox, so you can read those." Oh, so they were auto-muted, and then you couldn't reply. "We realize many of you use Gmail for very important messages, and we are sorry if mic-drop was in any way harmful to you. Note that if you're a Google Apps business, education, or government user, this feature was never turned on. Espresso D says, this is stupid. Google did nothing wrong. He got fired because he was incompetent and accidentally clicked buttons. I guess maybe it's a way to filter out society. Like, if you get fired for clicking the wrong button, you should be fired. What if you were riding the backhoe and you're like, eh, I don't know, I clicked the wrong button when we all crashed. Big deal. It's Google's fault. Remember last news with Nick? I think it was they were blaming Google Maps for demolishing the wrong house. Google Maps told us it was this house, so we just demolished it. We should have asked you before turning on the feature. We didn't anticipate accidental clicks. And yes, there was a bug that sometimes if you clicked send, it would also send the mic drop. Again, sorry. We love April Fool's jokes at Google, and we regret that this joke missed the mark and disappointed you. So you can find Google's official blog. You can actually scroll down, and they still have the official announcement. Email's great, but sometimes you just want to hit the eject button, like those heated threads at work where everyone's wrong except you, or those times when someone's seeking group approval, but your opinion is the only one that matters. Or maybe you just nailed it and there's nothing more to say. Today, Gmail's making it easier to have the last word on any email with Mic Drop. Simply reply to any email using the new Mic Send plus Mic Drop button. Everyone will get your message, but that's the last you'll ever hear from them. Yes, even if folks try to respond, you won't see it. When you drop the mic, your email will also include an explanatory image just to help set expectations. See, the situation where you'd ever want to mute someone seems very very rare. So you wouldn't even get to use the mic drop feature. Like, if you're going to send it to your friend, be like, haha, I'm the best, mic drop. But then it mutes them? I don't see the point. What, do you just send it to exes? Instead of hijack a plane and fly over, you just send them a mic drop? I don't know. All right, what's next? Here's a quick one. Oops, we got it loaded already.
Somehow, the driver of a Jeep Grand Cherokee being pursued by the California Highway Patrol managed to get inside Naval Air Station Lemoore before he crashed into the tail end of an F-18 jet, killing his passenger on impact. He died later at a Fresno hospital.
The pursuit was probably approximately maybe 4 minutes. It wasn't very long. It went along the public access road here at the base.
How does an SUV fleeing the police get inside a U.S. Navy base and take out a $60 million top-of-the-line fighter jet? That's the question officials at Naval Station Lemoore outside Fresno, California, are trying to figure out after a Jeep Grand Cherokee racing away from a California Highway Patrol traffic stop got 7 miles inside the Navy installation. 7 miles? Wait, Navy bases are 7 miles big? That seems like a lot. But I guess if you need to fly planes in and out of it, I guess they would be, right? Blah, blah, blah. So it's another GTA where, you know how you're running and you're like, oh, I know where I'll go, right into the army base. And then if you jump out quick enough, you can actually get in the plane and fly it. I guess that didn't happen here. Maybe he was trying to do that. Honey. All right. I'm going to open the door. You jump out, you jump into the plane, I'll jump in and then we'll fly. It always works in the video game. An investigation is underway on how the vehicle got past armed security guards at one of the entry points to a base that's home to 15 F-A-18 squadrons. Well, nobody knows what that means, so no point in putting it in the article. All Homeland U.S. military bases have been under what the Pentagon calls Force Protection Condition Bravo, which is defined as increased and predictable threat of terrorism. Since May 7, 2015, when the military was becoming increasingly wary of homegrown terror threats in the wake of the incident at the time, Bravo is the third highest threat level on a 5-tier scale. So I wonder, I'm sure there's rules, I didn't look it up. I wonder what, like, the security stop has to change whenever the security goes up. Okay, now we're at the next higher level. Now you have to get out of the car and you have to show us your chest and your ID to make sure that you're not carrying any mic recorders. I don't know. So an SUV crashes into a jet. Did we miss anything big? We did the Panama Papers. We did the Amtrak crash. We did the hijacked plane. We did the April Fools. Okay. We will head on into the lightning round, I suppose, and try to bang this out in 10 minutes. Sorry that it's a short show. Oh, Espresso D, gotta go. Mic drop. Okay. All right, let me... Boom. Boom. Okay. Here we go. U.S. is targeting burner phones in the wake of Europe's terrorist attacks. While the encryption debate may have temporarily subsided, which was the Apple iPhone debate, we'll get to that in a second. Burner phones seem to be getting the spotlight. It might be because terrorists aren't using encryption as much as they're just utilizing the quick, easy, and anonymous method of obtaining and discarding a prepaid phone. Congresswoman Jackie Speier, a Democrat representing blah, 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 has introduced a Closing the Prepaid Mobile Device Security Gap Act of 2016, which will require people who purchase a prepaid device to provide proper ID. This bill would close one of the most significant gaps in our ability to track and prevent acts of terror, drug trafficking, and modern-day slavery. The burner phone. Burner phones are basically, you get them, they're like a disposable camera, is only a phone, I guess. You can pick up a phone, use it to call, take calls, and then you can throw it away so that no one can track you. The burner phone loophole is an egregious gap in our legal framework that allows actors like the 9/11 hijacker and the Times bomber to evade law enforcement. Well, maybe you're right. Then again, you can't just make it a rule to get ID every time, to have ID every time you want to do some sort of communication. It's just a form of communication. You could write down pieces of like codes on like pieces of paper, and they're not going to be like, "Oh, you need ID to get paper now." So I don't know. Stupid. Not going to work. Capital shooting suspect in custody. U.S. Capitol Police shot a Tennessee man Monday afternoon after he pulled out what appeared to be a weapon. In the Capitol Visitor Center. A female civilian bystander was injured by shrapnel, but no U.S. Capitol Police officers were injured. We believe it is an act of a single person who has frequented the Capitol grounds before, and there is no reason to believe this is anything more than a criminal act. Police say the suspect Larry Dawson faces charges of assault with a deadly weapon and assault on police. Officer, well armed, he underwent surgery and is in stable but critical condition. That's not good for him, I guess. Well, I don't know. It's good for, I guess, someone who doesn't want a man to be pulling out guns at the Capitol. The suspect attempted to go through a metal detector at the Capitol Visitor Center entrance. When those magnometers beeped, he was stopped by security and then pulled out what appeared to be a weapon. Capitol police officer then shot him. Weird. Hang on a sec. Let's think about this for... Dawson was arrested on a charge of assaulting a police officer in October after an outburst. So he's got the gun. He walks through the metal detector. It beeps. He's about to be searched. Then he pulls the gun out, and then he's shot. I'm not seeing any evidence that he threatened anyone with the gun, is what I'm getting at here. It sounds like a man walked through a metal detector... It beeped. He pulled out the gun. Now, granted, if you're going to do that, you say, hey, oops, 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 sorry, 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 sorry. There is a device in my belt, and it is a gun. Please don't shoot me. You don't just whip it. You don't just pull it out. I'm wondering if this was an overreaction, and they shot him, and then he's the only one that could say, hey, I wasn't going to do anything, right? But he's in the hospital. Everyone else would be like, oh my God, he has a gun. He has a gun. He has a gun. Shoot him. So, maybe there's more to this than we think. I mean, he's clearly dumb if he's going to take a gun to the Capitol. But if you're gonna attack, why would you wait to go through the metal detector, then get it beeped, then get a guy searching you before you pull the gun out? Weird. Maybe he just wanted to threaten him and be like, I do have a gun and I can bring it. I don't know. Apple wants the Department of Justice to tell it how it hacked the phone. Apple wants the FBI to reveal how it hacked the San Bernardino killer's iPhone. So the Department of Justice did finally hack the phone that everyone's been talking about without Apple's help. And now Apple's like, hey, can you help us and tell us how you did it? They're going to be like, no. But everyone's like making fun of Apple for saying that. I'm like, might as well ask, right? Might as well be like, hey, can you tell us? They're not gonna help. FBI lawyer says, FBI lawyer won't say if data from unlocked iPhone is useful. So it's like, hey, we heard you got the iPhone open. Were you able to do anything with it? I'm not saying. That means there was nothing on it. And they're just like, they're not going to admit that there was nothing on it. Because if there was something on it, they're going to be like, wow, we found like hundreds of documents on, and we're pursuing hundreds of leads thanks to this hack. Apple really should have helped us, and we're probably going to lose a lot of lives because of this. Kids form human error. Kids form human arrow to point police chopper towards suspects on the run. Children and their families had gathered together on Good Friday for an Easter egg hunt in the field in Capel, located in Surrey. This, again, is overseas. But an intrusion at a building nearby brought a dramatic police helicopter chase right to them. With a chopper buzzing overhead and two men suddenly racing across the field, those in the group quickly realized they were witnessing a police pursuit. The kids dropped to the ground and lay in an arrow-shaped formation to point the authorities in the right direction. The children quickly formed an arrow on the ground in the middle of the... So they're doing the thing that bands do when you're on the field and you make a shape. They laid down in an arrow formation. Let's see if I can get the picture of it. Oh, boy. Darn it. I'm going to need to... Kids form arrow. Here it is. Everyone lay down in the arrow form! And then they're appointing the suspect. They're pointing the helicopter to the suspects. Now, what happens if they'd pointed them the other direction? Would they come down and arrest all the kids? You filed a false report with the police. We weren't filing a report. We were just laying down on the ground. You can't charge us for filing a false report just because we happen to be laying in an arrow formation. Or what if they did it like a cartoon where they point both directions? I don't know. That's very odd. Let's lay down and make an arrow for the police to follow. Do you guys remember that the Olympics are this year? Tickets to the 2016 Olympics aren't selling and Brazil is scrambling to boost demand. There could be quite a few empty seats at the Olympic Games in Rio this summer, with just half the tickets sold in only 4 months before kick. Okay, and the browser just crashed. With only half the tickets sold and only 4 months before kickoff, Brazil's new Minister of Sports, Ricardo Leiser, is looking into ways to boost ticket sales. He told Brazilian newspaper that the Brazilian government may purchase. Well, you know what? The point is, the thing keeps crashing. The point is, no one knows that the Olympics are happening this year because there's a Zika virus, there's a whole bunch of slavery going on, things like that, and no one wants to go because who wants to go to Brazil for the Olympics? So the point is the tickets aren't selling and it's going to be a mess. Let's watch it. It's happening in 4 months. All right, that is News with Nick. I do have to end because I do need to get going for work. Thanks for coming out. Sorry, it was a short one. If maybe this microphone... Look, the microphone's been perfect all show long. It takes 20 minutes to get it going, and then it works perfectly. I don't understand anything. But I got to go shower, and I got to go do other things. So thank you for coming to the show, News with Nick, and we'll do another one soon. Bye.